Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to call in 319-527-6204. at 7 p.m. And you can participate in our lessons, give your thoughts or comments on what the writer is saying. And our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. And you can call in your prayer requests, and we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. My daily bread for this evening is coming from, it's entitled, I Am Your Refuge and Strength. Amen. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms 46, verses 1 through 3. And it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Amen. And my second scripture reading is coming from Psalms 89, verses 15 through 16. And it says, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light presence. O Lord, they rejoice in your name all day long. They exult in your righteousness. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title is, I am your refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, you do not need to be afraid of anything, not even catastrophic, which means violent change. Circumstances. The media are increasingly devoted to fear-inducing subject matters. Terrorism, serial killers, environmental catastrophes. If you focus on such dangers and forget that I am your refuge in all circumstances, you will become increasingly fearful. Every day I manifest my grace in countless places and situations, but the media take no notice. I shower not only blessings, but also outright miracles on your planet. As you grow closer to me, I open your eyes to see more and more of my presence all around you. Things that most people hardly notice, like shifting shades of sunlight, fill you with heart-bursting joy. You have eyes that see and ears that hear. So proclaim my abiding presence in the world. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. But first, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we enter this sanctuary, we bring your presence with us. We speak your peace, your grace, your mercy, and your perfect order into this sanctuary. We acknowledge your power over all that will be spoken, thought, decided, and done within these walls. Lord, praise God. We thank you for the gifts you have blessed us with. We commit to using them responsibly in your honor. Give us a fresh supply of strength to do our job. Anoint our projects, our ideas, and energy so that even our smallest accomplishment may bring you glory. Lord, when we are confused, please guide us. When we are weary, please energize us. When we are burnt out, please infuse us with the light of the Holy Spirit. And may the work that we do and the way that we do it bring faith, joy, and a smile to all that we come in contact with today. And, oh Lord, when we leave this sanctuary, give us traveling mercy. Bless our family and home to be in order as we left it. We thank you for everything you have done, for everything you are doing. And we thank you for everything you are going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray with much love and thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen.
Amen. Praise God. Higher and higher. Precious and Heavenly Father, give us the wisdom to be a good listener. Help us to listen carefully to our family, to our friends, and most of all, Lord God, to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection.
I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand.
moment and consider. When God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed, but racking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but and say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs to know that God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but
I am.
One more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can be peace.
I am.
In Psalm 68 and 5 says, a father, Abba, fatherless, and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. Amen. Praise God. Abba, Father, you are a father to the fatherless and the defender of those in need. Holy is your name. For you stand above all. We lift up your name in praise and admiration, acknowledging you as our Father, a Father who is always there when we need you. Sometimes our earthly fathers abandon us or don't know how to be there when we need them. But when that happens, you rise up as our true Father. You fill the gap and bring comfort and guidance to each of us who seeks your face as Father. You have so many children, Abba Father, that we don't know how of us all at one time. But you do. You are the greatest Father of all. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So at this time,
hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681. And call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to let you know that it starts with you. Because all it takes is the anointing to make a difference. Now listen. There may be times in your life when you don't know what to do. It seems like everything is going wrong and you don't know how you'll make it through. Took your kindness for weakness and didn't return your favor.
Let us spirit.
Oh,
come in.
Praise be to God. Dear Lord, your love is eternal and your laws are everlasting. When we obey your commandments, we are blessed. Today, we invite you to reign over every corner of our heart. We will have faith in you. Father, we will sense your presence. We will accept your love. We will trust your will. And we will praise you for the Savior of our life. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening, which is entitled, Great Wisdom. Amen. And my scripture reading, is coming from Jude, all the way in the back of your Bible, Jude chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 17. No, I'm sorry, 17 through 23. Amen. That's Jude chapter 1, praise God, 1, 17 through 23, 16, 17. The duty to fight for God's truth is what this scripture is talking about. A call to remain faithful. But you, my dear friends, must remember that what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ said. They told you that in the last times there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desire. These people are the ones who are creating division among you. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. Again, the title of this message is Great Wisdom. The text for this message is coming from Jude 1:22-23, and it says, be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear. Amen. Praise God. The writer says, the shepherd needs great wisdom and 1,000 eyes, wrote the beloved church father John Chiselstone, Chrysler Stone. To examine the soul's condition from every angle, Chiselstone wrote these words as part of a discussion on the complexity of caring well for others' spiritually. Since it's impossible to force anyone to heal, he emphasized, reaching others' hearts requires great empathy and compassion. But that doesn't mean never causing pain. Chrysostone caution, because if you behave too leniently to one who needs deep surgery and do not make a deep incision in one who requires it, you mutilate yet miss the cancer. But if you make the needed incision without mercy, often the patient, in despair at his suffering, throws all aside and promptly throws himself over a cliff. There's a similar complexity in how Jude describes responding to those led astray by false teachers, whose behavior he described stalking in 1:12-13, 18-19. Yet when Jude turns to how to respond to such grave threats, he doesn't suggest reacting with harsh anger. Instead, he taught that believers should respond to treat by rooting themselves even more deeply in God's love in verses 20-21. For it's only when we are deeply anchored in God's unchanging love that we can find the wisdom to help others with appropriate urgency, humility, and compassion, verses 22-23. The way most likely to help them find healing and rest in God's boundless love. Amen. Question. Why is it crucial to build yourself up in the Holy Spirit in verse 20? Before you respond to perceived threats, what examples have you seen of great wisdom and compassion used in helping someone in great pain? Think about those questions. Let us pray. God of love, when we're faced with evil and hate, help us not to respond in kind, but anchor ourselves in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that is our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, you can please call in 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. Amen. So at this time, I will play another selection.
In my weakness, I am strong, but it's throughout my life, there have been many trials and tribulations. But there are one thing I come to know without a doubt is that God can and God will. Therefore, I know I can always. When you're feeling down, you need to know that there's a safe place you can go to share your despair. Fall down on your knees to help you save your feet. Cast your cares on Him, He'll supply all your needs. Friends and family, they can walk away. But when you call on God, He'll come and save the day. He loves and cares for you, and He will see you through. You both can walk hand in hand through the storm, He will say. And He'll show the way. Through all of your trials, you must trust and believe. I'm a witness that through faith and prayer, you shall receive. Through your faith, your eyes will be opened. Through the hope He is in the Father, He saved us for His own purpose.
And full of grace and grace. My role as a leader better recognize something like a preacher. My sister done fall down to my knees. I wipe my slate clean from my mind at ease. He's the rock that I always can lean on at all times. A name I can call on. Jesus.
By Charles C. Ryrie. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Blessed, thank you. Praise God.
Blessed, fantastic. Oh, is there anyone else on tonight?
Not yet.
Okay. We're going to come in prayer. Oh, dear Lord, precious in heaven, Father, give your servants coming to you right now, Lord, saying thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, giving us a brand new day, Father God. We thank you. for your goodness, your mercy, your glory, your honor, Father God. We can't take any of that away from you. We just give it all to you. It all belongs to you, Father God. Lord, we just thank you for life, breath, strength, friends, and enemies too, Lord God. I ask that you bless everybody that's on this line, that will be on this line, that even thought about this line tonight, Father God. Bless them and see to their needs, Lord Jesus, as we know that you will, because you're faithful. We thank you for your unconditional love. We thank you for everything, Father God. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. And we ask that you just strengthen us as we go about this journey called life, Lord. Yes. Thank you for everything you've done, everything that you're going to do, and everything that you're doing right now. And bless this lesson. I pray that we will get enlightenment from your word as we study the word of this author. Thank you, Father God. As we try to draw nigh to thee, please draw nigh to us. And all these blessings we ask in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus, the only begotten, the Redeemer, the soon coming King, your Son, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. So we're going to pick up where we left off. This is chapter 30, talking about the Bible and origins. And we're at part 5 on page 211, solar days or ages. So, actually, there are four views that fall within this discussion. If you can mute yourself, I would feel more better.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. For now, thank you. The literal solar day view, in which the days of creation are understood to be solar days, which we now calibrate as 24 hours. Number two, the day-age view that understands the days to be long ages. This view, of course, accommodates the geologic ages easily. Three, solar days with long gaps between. The days in Genesis 1 are solar days, but they did not follow each other immediately. Rather, they were separated by long periods of time. This view, too, will accommodate uniformation geology. Number four, the revelatory day view says that the days have nothing to do with God's work of creating out with his revealing these matters to Moses. Let me read that one more time. Four. The revelatory day view says that the days have nothing to do with God's work of creating, but with his revealing these matters to Moses. In other words, they were the days on which certain things were revealed, not performed. Even though there are these various views, the principal discussion centers on whether the days are solar or age long. All right, so age long, who is that again? The day view, solar view is talking about a 24-hour period. Day age understands the days to be long ages. So do you have a thought about that?
No, I mean, like, but, well, it says in Genesis that, you know, days are longer, and that's like, today, too, the days are longer, but it's when you turn it back, then the days become shorter and the nights become longer.
You're talking about
in the summertime. Huh?
You're talking about seasons.
Oh, yes, yes. Not
so
days.
This is talking about days. They talk about the solar day is just 24 hours, the time that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, and then the moon comes out at night.
Right.
Some nights, not all night. But that's considered one day. And as we read or have read in Genesis, it says that God did thus and such, and it was night, and the sun became the next day. All
right?
So solar days they're saved may be more than that. It may be ages in that God didn't create the world just in 6 days and rested on the seventh, but those mm-hmm. days might have been years and ages, maybe even eons.
Oh.
Right? So they're not saying that it was a 24-hour solar day. It mm-hmm. might have been longer than that, but the way that it was told to Moses made it seem like it was performed that way, but it was really revealed to him in mm-hmm. that way.
Wow.
But it just makes a difference. When we look at it, you yes. know, we might think that, yeah, he did it in God, we created, through Jesus, created the world in 7 days.
But
in the question of, was it solar days or 24 hours, or was it ages that amounted to us looking at it as 6 days of creation and 1 day of rest? But let's go on. Part A, arguments mm-hmm. for solar days. Again, solar days being what?
The time between success, transit of, you know, the sun as a particular place or time.
What is it?
Solar days?
Mm-hmm.
It's the time between. I'm looking at the dictionary, what they're saying.
It okay, says, just pay attention to what I just read. Never mind the dictionary right now.
Okay.
So, what is a solar day?
It could be a year, or it could be...
No, we're talking about a 24-hour day. The day, the time that the sun comes up and the moon comes up, that's considered 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at it as though that's literally what God did through Jesus when the world was created. But they're saying that those solar days might have been ages. It wasn't just a 24-hour day. So a solar day is a 24-hour day.
Okay, a solar day is a 24-hour day.
Right, when the sun comes up and goes down, that's considered 24 hours. That's 1 day.
Okay.
And if we could take a look a minute at Genesis, let me see, somewhere in the first chapter of Genesis, it mentions that like 6 times. I'm looking at the Message Bible. And it says, talking about chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, it says, God spoke light, and light appeared. God saw that light was good and separated light from dark. God named the light day. He named the dark night. It was evening. It was morning, day one. So that's a solar day.
Oh,
just
okay.
The night and the day is 24 hours, and that's it. It may be uneven. Like you say, the days may be longer in the summer and shorter in the winter, but it's still 24 hours, and it's still 12 hours for the night and 12 hours for the day.
Right.
All right, so even though the sun may not be up, or you know what I'm saying, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the solar day is what?
It's a
24-hour what?
Period.
Day, yeah, it's a day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, that was A. Let me see. Then we're going to go to, my book. A, arguments for solar days. The word day is in quotations. You got to mute again.
You know what happened? There's a short in the wire. That's why.
Okay. Thank you. The word day in quotations, when used with a numerical adjective in the Pentateuch, always indicates a solar day. Why would Genesis 1 be an exception? Indeed, this is true for all the uses of day with the numeral or ordinal in the entire Old Testament. And I'm going to ask you what is numeral and what is ordinal in a minute. So think about it. The only possible exceptions to this might be 2 Chronicles 21:19 and Hosea 6:2, though both passages may well be interpreted as understanding solar days. To be sure, the word day is used in several senses, but with the numeral or ordinal, it only means a solar day, as seen in Genesis 1:5, 8:13, 19:23, 31. Excuse me. In verses 5, 14, 16, and 18, it refers to the period of daylight as contrasted with night. And that's what we talked about, 24 hours, 12 hours of daylight, and it could vary, and 12 hours of night or darkness, and that can vary. So, of course, this latter usage of day as the time of daylight relates to a solar day. It makes no sense to talk about the day of an age as contrasted with the night of an age. So we're going to look at numeral in that third line. What is numeral or compared to ordinal? Any idea?
Numeral is like a number or numbers. And what'd you say that other one was?
Ordinal. O-R-D-I-N-A-L.
That one, could it be an ordinary number or a different number? I don't know.
Both of them have to do with numbers. Numeral. Mm-hmm. Means in order, like 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever.
Right.
And ordinal refers to position, like first, second,
mm-hmm.
third. You don't say 1, 2, 3. It's like first. So say someone was running a race, they would talk about the ordinal position of the winner. So the first place, the winner, came in first place. You don't say he came in one.
In the second place, when he came in second,
you don't say he came in two.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of position. Ordinal means position in numbers.
So numeral is numbers.
So we're going to go to 2 Chronicles 21:19, if you can get that. And I'll look at Hosea 6:2. 2 Chronicles 21:19. After Kings, you got it?
I'm getting it. 2 Chronicles 21:19. The disease grew worse and worse, and at the end of the 2 years, it caused his bowels to come out, and he died in agony. His people did not build a great numeral fire to honor him as they had done for his ancestors. Who are they talking about?
Right now they're talking about,
who is this?
Jehoram.
Oh.
Jehoram. You see that in 16, I think.
But what happened to him, 18, after all this?
So we're looking at Jehoram. So he was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned for 8 years in Jerusalem.
Uh-huh.
There were no tears shed when he died. It was good riddance. And they buried him in the city of David, but not in the royal cemetery. So I don't think they cared for him too much.
No, he must have been bad.
Right. And there were too many. King Jehoram.
Yeah.
Starting at the beginning of chapter 21. And the other part is Hosea 6 and 2. I don't see what that has to do with days, but anyway.
It did say the disease grew worse and worse, and at the end of 2 years, so maybe one day was a year and 2 days were 2 years.
Okay, unless they're talking about days or something with the numerals. I don't know.
It doesn't make sense, but hey.
Not for me, no. I would have to really study that again. But let's look at Hosea 6 and 2.
Okay.
And I'll read that one. Hosea 6 and 2. If this has anything to do with the numbers. 6 and 2. Well, mine goes from 1 to 3. Gangs of priests assaulting worshipers. Come on, let's go back to God. He hurt us, but he'll heal us. He hit us hard, but he put us right again in a couple of days. There we go. We'll feel better. But
yes.
The third day, he'll have made us brand new, alive and on our feet, fit to face him. We're ready to study God, eager for God knowledge, as sure as dawn breaks. So sure is his daily arrival. He comes as rain comes, as spring rain refreshing the ground. Okay, and this one, they did talk about days. So days,
yes,
in this instance, could again be more than a 24-hour solar day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it says, by the third day, we will have made it brand new. For all of this to transpire, it would probably take longer than an actual three-day period. What's that, 72 hours?
Yes.
Longer than that. 48 hours is 2 days, so another 24. So they did mention day. That much is clear. Other than that,
Exactly. After that, that's it.
That's it. Okay. So to be sure, the word, going back into it, to be sure, the word day is used in several senses, but with the numeral or ordinal, it only means a solar day. So let's take a look at Genesis 1 and 5, and then 8.
Okay.
So we all is in one, so we just kind of let you read some and I'll read some. Genesis 1 and 5.
4, 5. 5 is, where are you? Okay, God calls the light day and the darkness night, and evening passed. And morning came, marking the first day.
And then 8?
And 8 says, God called the space sky, and the evening passed, and morning came, marking the second day.
Right. And 13?
13. And the evening passed, and morning came, marking the third day.
And the other one is 19?
19. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the fourth day.
Right. So all of these seem to be solar days. And 23?
And 23. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the fifth day.
And finally, 31?
31. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day.
Amen. So how many days did it take for the world to be be created?
6 days and the seventh day rest.
Right, seventh day is the Sabbath day.
Yes.
So we just don't know how long the solar days were.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they could have been talking about a 24-hour period. God is able to do everything.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't know if that was actually the time that was performed to create these things. All right. It was the time that was revealed to Moses, but it was not necessarily the time it took to perform when it was done.
Okay.
Okay, let's go on. Thank you. And so in verses 5, 14, 16, 18, it refers to the period of daylight as contrasted with night. So let's take a look at one. Well, you read that, but
verse 5.
Let's look at 5, 1 and 14. 1 and 14.
Okay, 14 says, then God said, let there appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Then let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. So that's where the seasons came in.
Right, that seems to be. And so if it's marking those things, maybe they actually went through the season.
Right.
You understand? And it may not have been the 24 hours. It might have been an actual so-called year or whatever, and it had the actual breakdown of the season.
Oh.
All right, so let's take a look at, we looked at 18, right? Well, let's look at 18, and then we'll be finished with that. 18.
Okay. 18 says, to govern the day and night and to separate the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good.
All right. So at the beginning of that, it talks about how he made two lights.
Yes.
The larger one to take charge of the day, which was what?
Oh, that's the larger one is the light for the daytime, which is the sun, and the nighttime, and the nighttime is the smaller one is the night, which is the moon.
Right, right. So the moon is smaller than the sun.
Mm-hmm.
The sun allowed us to know that it was day, and it's brighter, and it's daylight, and usually no darkness, okay? So we're going to go on. Thank you for that. Of course, this latter usage of day as the time of daylight relates to a solar day. It makes no sense to talk about the day of an age as contrasted with the night of an age. So they're talking about it was a 24-hour thing. It makes no sense to talk about that, contrasting it with the night.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't help either.
No.
Number two. Because I just said, if it goes through the season, I would think that, but it, again, God can do miraculous things. He could have still done that in one day. You know, gave all the seasons, the four seasons or whatever it was at that time, two seasons. You know, spring and fall.
We would never know for sure.
We will never know, no. Number two, the qualifying phrase, evening and morning, attached to each of the 6 days of creation, supports the meaning of the days as 24-hour periods. Mm-hmm. Proponents of the day-age idea reply that evening and morning is a figure of speech for beginning and ending. Each evening saw the completion of the work of that age, which was followed by the morning, in quotation marks, and so was evening, morning of renewed activity. By evening and morning, each occurring more than 100 times in the Old Testament, I never used to mean anything other than a literal evening and literal morning, ending or beginning a solar day. Notice the phrase in Daniel 8 and 26 referring to solar days. Let's take a look at Daniel 8 and 26.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll read it. It goes from 23 to 26. As their kingdoms sit down and rebellions heat up, a king will show up, hard-faced, a master trickster. His power will swell enormously. He'll talk big, high-handedly, doing whatever he pleases, knocking off heroes and holy ones left and right. He'll plot and scheme to make crime flourish, and oh, how it will flourish. He'll think he's invincible and get rid of anyone who gets in his way. But when he takes on the prince of all princes, he'll be smashed to bits, but not by human hands. This vision of the 2,300 sacrifices, evening and morning, is accurate but confidential. Keep it to yourself. It refers to the far future. Okay, so this is a prophecy that's revealed to Daniel. And I'll just read the last part, 27. I, Daniel, walked around in a daze, unwell for days. Then I got a grip on myself and went back to work, taking care of the king's affairs. But I continued to be upset by the vision. I couldn't make sense of it. So this, again, is a prophecy, a vision that came to him, and he's trying to understand what it all means.
Yes.
Okay, that much is clear. Okay, we're going to go back to keep turning my page. So we're going to see Exodus 3. Wait, here I am. I did time by evening and morning to then. Okay, part 3. On page 212. Exodus 20:11 and 31:17 states that God made everything in 6 days, that he rested on the seventh, and this pattern serves as the basis for man's weekly cycle. In both these passages, these are the words God spoke directly to Moses. If God meant ages instead of days, why did he not use Dor or Olap, which mean age, or attach an adjective like rap, which means long, to the word day? We don't know.
Nope,
we don't know. B, arguments for age, day. This is the contrasting argument that it wasn't a 24-hour day, that it was age was more than one 24-hour cycle. Number one. The word day sometimes refers to a longer, indefinite period of time. In Genesis 2 and 4, it refers to the entire creative period. In Job 20 and 28, to the time of God's wrath. And in Psalm 20 and 1, to a day or time of trouble. The plural is sometimes used in a sense of the time of, Genesis 26 and 18. The argument focuses especially on Genesis 2, verse 4, which seems to indicate that God did his work of creating in an unspecified but long period of time, certainly longer than 6 solar days. Since the previous chapter has indicated that there were at least 6 days involved in creating the heavens and the earth, it is abundantly evident that Yom, Y-O-M, in verse 4, cannot possibly be meant as a 24-hour day, unless perchance the scripture contradicts itself. But this fails to recognize that in the day that is simply a vivid Hebrew idiom for at the time when, and that's in quotation marks. There is no article before the word day and a day at the time. So you want to get Genesis 2 and 4?
Okay.
And I'll get Psalm 20 and 1.
Okay. Genesis 2 and 4 says, this is the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth.
That's it?
That's it.
Say it again.
This is the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth.
All right. Thank you. And it says it refers to the entire creative period.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to get Psalm 20 and 1 if you would get Genesis 26 and 18.
Okay.
Psalm 20 and 1 reads, this is David's psalm. God, answer you on the day you crash. The name God of Jacob put you out of harm's reach. Send reinforcements from Holy Hill. Dispatch from Zion, fresh supplies. Exclaim over your offering. Celebrate your sacrifices. Give you what your heart desires. Accomplish your plan. So God is saying, God answers you on the day you crash. The name God of Jacob put you out of harm's reach. So because he's calling on God, he's saying that you're saved. Okay?
Okay.
And then, you have any questions or comments?
No, I just wanted to ask you about that word yum. Yum? Yum?
Yum.
The
Y-O-M.
Y-O-M?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
That's a Hebrew word, so wherever it's translated from,
mm-hmm.
that's what they give us. They're talking about, what is this, chapter 2 and 4? I guess they use that in Genesis 2 and 4. So they say that Yom in verse 4 cannot possibly be meant as a 24-hour day, unless the chance of scripture contradicts itself. So the translation from Hebrew to English, the Hebrew word was yom when they're talking about the 24-hour day.
Okay.
And I wonder if it would come up if we Google it. You got the other one, though?
Oh, yeah. You mean 26 and 18.
Uh-huh.
It says, he reopened the wells his father had dug, which the Philistine had filled, and after Abraham's death, Isaac also restored the names Abraham had given them. That's verse 8.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me Google and see if Yom will give me the Hebrew word Yom, Y-O-M.
Okay.
Okay. Strong Lexicon Yom is Hebrew number 3117, and it gives a sign. The word Yom's root meaning is to be hot as the warm hours of a day. Thus, Yom and its context is sometimes translated as time in Genesis 4 and 3. So we're talking about time.
Time, okay.
Okay, and Yom is commonly rendered as day, which is what we were saying.
Right.
It's a 24-hour day. Not 24 hours, but it's talking about when the sun is shining, so the day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to know what that meant.
Right. Interesting. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go back to the reading.
Okay. We just finished 26:18.
Mm-hmm. 26:18.
Got it? Yeah, I read it.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah, that's it. Just one verse.
All right.
I'll read it again if you want me to.
You could.
It says, he reopened the wells his father had dug, which the Philistine had filled in after Abraham's death. Isaac also restored the names Abraham had given them. So he restored the names that Abraham gave them, and that he reopened the wells, but that the Philistines had covered, you know, filled them in with dirt.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Good. Great. Thank you for rereading it. So
okay.
We're gonna go back to building arguments for age days. And we talked about Genesis 26:18.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to continue at that point. The argument focuses especially on Genesis 4, which seems to indicate that God did his work of creating in an unspecified but long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly longer than 6 solar days. Since
mm-hmm.
the previous chapter has indicated that there were at least 6 days involved in creating the heavens and the earth. It is abundantly evident that Yom in verse 4, talking about day again, cannot
right.
possibly be looked as a 24-hour day, unless perchance the scripture contradicts itself. But this fails to recognize that, in quotation marks, in the day that, unquote, is simply a vivid Hebrew idiom for, in quotes, at the time when, unquote. There is no article before the word day in a day at the time. Section 2. Since the sun was not created till the 4th day, we may assume that the first 3 days were of indefinite length of time. Is this an admission that the last 4 days were solar days? Solar day advocates reply that God must have created some source of light on the first day simply because the text says there was light, and the rotation of the earth in relation to that light source brought the day/night, evening, morning cycle mentioned in relation to those first 3 days. So any thoughts about that?
So you're saying that the first 3 days that God was doing the creation, that there was solar light?
This is saying that the sun was not there until the 4th day. But as we read each stanza, you read 1, and at the end of 1 and 5, it said, and the day and the night were the first day.
Right.
So apparently there was a day, a lightness, and a night.
Mm-hmm.
But it says that in the beginning, it says that God created the light. So there was light.
Yeah.
There was light in the beginning. It may not have been sectioned off like a day and a night, but that's what the word says. The first one was the first day and night. Right?
Yes, it says that. But could
that's
it...
what it says.
Yeah, but could it have been the light, the illumination of God, that there was light for those first 3 days?
But it says he created light.
Right.
He spoke it into existence, not even that he created it. He spoke it.
Spoke it,
and it
right.
came. Let's look at 1 again. Let's look at, it said, what does yours say? Chapter 1, verse 1 of Genesis.
Mine says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's it. Chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters.
Go on.
Okay. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. That's verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 4 says, and God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day.
Okay, good. Let's go to 1 and 16. Read that, please. And this is what they just wrote, that there was no sun until the fourth day. So read 1 and 16 through 19.
Okay. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the fourth day.
All right. So that's when the sun and the moon were created, on the fourth day. But in the beginning, we see that he spoke it into existence, light.
Yes.
And
yes.
That once he did what he did on that first day, naming the light day, naming the dark night, it was day and night. It was one day. There was still no sun.
Right.
But there was darkness and there was light.
Mm-hmm.
So even without the sun, there was still a separation of the darkness from the light.
Yes.
Right? And we have days now that, you know, the sun is not shining, but we still know that it's day.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, so it's just that the sun came into existence only on the fourth day when he spoke it into existence.
Right.
All
okay.
right. So, we're going to go to part 3. The seventh day on which God rested was longer than 24 hours. The seventh day. What's that?
I just said,
Okay. Therefore, the first 6 days were also. It says the seventh day was longer than 24 hours. Therefore, the first 6 days were also. The use of God's rest in Hebrews 4 reinforces this conclusion. You want to get Hebrews 4?
Okay.
Also, Peter says that with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years. I'll do 2 Peter 3 and 8. So Hebrews 4, excuse me, I don't think we're going to read the whole thing, but we can certainly look at it.
If it's short.
Is it short? Yeah, if it's short.
Okay, here we go. Hebrews 1, 2. Not 12, 2, 4. It's 14, 15 verses.
Okay.
Okay, Hebrews 4 says, God's promise of entering his rest still stands, so we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they did not share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter his rest. As for the others, God said, in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest, even though this rest has been ready since he made the world. We know it is ready because of the place in the scripture where it mentions the seventh day. And on the seventh day, God rested from all his work. But in the other passage, God said, they will never enter my place of rest. So God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God, for all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fail. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Amen.
It goes through 16.
No, 13. Oh, 16. I'm sorry. No, then we going into, oh, yeah. Christ is greater than the Old Testament priesthood. Okay, so then, since we have a great high priest who have entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understand our weakness, for he faced all of the same testing we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. Yeah.
What did you get out of that?
That the second rest is like eternal rest. So the people of that time in 4, you know, they disobeyed God's commands when he told them, you know, when they gave the good news, they didn't want to believe it, so they wanted to do what they wanted to do, but he told them that those who do not obey God will lose, and they will never into that rest, which is eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
And that's not just then. That's today.
Too. Now, today too.
That, that still applies.
Yes, it does.
Applies. Exactly. Thank you for that.
Yes.
And so it's about obedience.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
With the Father and the Son, it's about obedience.
Amen.
Second Peter 3 and 3:8, I think it was. Let me see. All right, my bad.
John.
2 Peter.
2 Peter.
3:8.
Mm-hmm.
3:8 says, the day the sky will collapse. Don't overlook the obvious here, friends. With God, one day is as good as 1,000 years. 1,000 years as a day. God isn't late with his promise as some measure lateness. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, again, talking about that year comparable
yes.
to a day and a day comparable to a year. So, again, God can do it any way that he chooses to do it. And
absolutely.
Sometimes when it's talking about days, it's talking about thousands of years.
Yep.
Again, getting back to the creation. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to read the rest of this paragraph. It's
mm-hmm.
And we'll be done for tonight.
Okay.
Before accepting the conclusion, observe the following. Though the rest of the Christian life in Hebrews 4 is likened to the satisfying rest God enjoyed on the seventh day of the creative work, nowhere does the writer of Hebrews suggest that that seventh day for God was other than the same length of day as the other 6 days of the creation.
Mm.
We. If they were ages, they were all ages.
Mm.
If days, all were days. But strictly speaking, Hebrews does not say other than God rested on the seventh day. It does say he rested, not
mm-hmm.
rest. Of course, Peter does not say that a day is 1,000 years any more than he says that 1,000. That's what I just read.
Mm-hmm.
Peter does not say that a day is 1,000 years any more than he says that 1,000 years is a day. That's not what I read. 3:8, just one more time. It says, don't overlook the obvious here, friends. With God, one day is as good as 1,000 years. That's what I just said. But anyway, to sum up, exegetically, the burden of proof rests on those who want to understand the days of Genesis 1 as ages. Normal interpretation of that passage, the use of the word day with numbers, the accompanying phrase evening and morning in quotation marks,
mm-hmm.
and the two passages in Exodus constitute strong evidence from the biblical text itself that the days
mm-hmm.
were solar days. So this is saying what?
It's saying that the days were solar days. I forgot what that word was in that room. I wrote it down. Oh,
right.
Solar days is a day, an hour, 24 hours a day.
Right. Well,
yes.
You got the sun or the daylight. It might be 12
mm-hmm.
hours. It might be more. It might be less. And
yes.
Night for the moon might
mm-hmm.
be 12 hours. Might be less. But in total, it's 24 hours.
24 hours.
So this
hours.
Is saying that the world was created in solar days. They're not talking about the... So it's not conclusive, really.
No.
It's
confusing, but...
It's confusing, right.
Mm-hmm.
If God wished to convey the idea of solar days, how could he have said it more clearly?
Oh my goodness! I tell you, you got to read that one over and over to really get the real understanding. The day you got to Google it to find. I tell you, these solar days and age days and.
So at one point he's arguing for the age days, but at the end he ends up saying that it was solar days. What is? I don't even understand. But anyway, we gotta stop at part 7, appearance of history, and that's on page 213.
Okay.
We had homework. I'm not going to get into it, but did you get to see Judges 10?
Yeah, we was right. We read 10 and 11, and then we were supposed to check did whatever his name is.
Jephthah.
Did he keep animals in his house?
Right. Did you get an answer?
Yes, he did. But, you know, they were pets.
Okay.
It's,
what kind of animals did he keep?
They didn't say. They didn't say what kind of animals. It just said that certainly he sheltered. He didn't keep them. He sheltered them in his house. But they probably weren't pets as we use the term. So he sheltered animals, but they were not pets. So at that day when he made that vow, he thought that it was going to be a pet. An animal that would come out of his house instead of his daughter. So
okay, and what I found was that they did keep them in the house. They had shelters for them outside of the house, very close to the house, but they didn't live inside the house. So that's not conclusive either.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
But for him to take that vow and be shocked that a human, his only daughter, would run out.
Yeah.
That was a foolish vow.
Yeah, but he was angry when he made that vow. Because remember when his brothers and them threw him out when the father died.
This was later when they called him to come back.
But then he
would be in charge of the army. And
right.
So he said, if I'm in charge of the army, am I going to be really, like, in charge? Don't just let me come and fight the war, and then when it's all over, you toss me out again.
Exactly.
All right? So he came back, and he was willing to fight, but he took that vow with God, as we know it to be, that if God would help him win the battle, that he ever came out of his house first, he was willing to sacrifice.
Not knowing.
That was a foolish job.
Exactly. Very foolish.
He won a victory, but he should not have done that.
But the vow wasn't even necessary because God
was. He won a victory in the war. He won a victory in the battle.
Yeah, but I'm saying that he didn't even have to make that vow to God because God was already helping him.
But that was the thing that said, if you help us win, that was the thing. If you help us win, I will go and do this, such and such.
He should have never said that.
No, he shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have done that. But anyway.
We're going to ask you, thank you for doing the homework, and it's always good to get more information on the background of what it is.
Yeah.
But again, we're going to go over that again because it's not conclusive. You said they have pets, and I read something. I didn't go into depth about the pets, but I didn't find that they had pets. But we're going to go over that again, okay?
Oh, okay, because it says
don't
that.
Don't throw it away.
I'm keeping it. Yeah,
okay.
I won't throw it away because we're going to go over it next week again.
Right. And I want to say something. If you could take us out and pray, I want to say something after you pray us out.
Okay. Precious and Heavenly Father, we come this afternoon as humbly as we know how to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and to thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning, clothing our right minds, divine healing in our body. We thank you for life, strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. We thank you for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do, Lord God. We thank you for sending your only son to die on the cross for our sins, and that we may have eternal life, Lord God. And we thank you for forgiving us for our sins, that we will see you as long as we obey your commands, Lord God. We thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. Lord God, I thank you for strengthening my daughter and body, soul, and mind, Lord God, that she's able to could do what she has to do to get herself better, Lord God, with your help. She's not doing it on her own, Lord God, but you are the one that is controlling the whole situation. And I thank you and I praise you for doing what you do, Lord God. Thank you for each and every one on the line, those on Facebook, YouTube, and Block Talk, wherever they listen to this program, Lord God. We ask that you bless each and every home and guide each and every one of us in the way that you would have us to go, Lord God. And we pray that this new year coming in, Lord God, that we will get closer and closer and closer to you, Lord God, and just love on one another, forgive one another. Embrace each other, Lord God. We thank you for keeping us safe through this pandemic, Lord God. Thank you for watching over our families, our friends, and even our enemies, Lord God. We glorify you, and we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. We do pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen,
amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I just want to say that I'm glad that she's, is she home yet?
Oh, no. She's going to be in there for a while.
Okay. She got to get rehab and therapy.
Yeah,
and
she's getting physical and occupational.
Okay.
So they're working on her, you know, muscles to strengthen up her muscles again, that she will be strong enough. And she really surprising them that, you know, and that, you know, she's doing it, and they were like, wow, you are doing fantastic, because we didn't even think that you could walk when you came here. But, you know, God, oh my God, God is working his miracles on her. And I hope that she would open her eyes and see that she's not doing it on her own. It's God is in the midst of everything.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So glad.
Yes.
Give her my regards and my blessings, and just continue to grow stronger and stronger.
Yes. And thank you for your prayers.
Just bless her, God. Bless her.
Yes.
So glad to hear that. So glad to hear that. I just wanted to say that I spoke to Mother Wiggins today. She's doing well. You know, she's doing fine. She enjoys her apartment. She's glad that she's there. And she was saying how she had to get rid of a lot of stuff, and it was not easy, you know. But she did it. You know, she took her time and did it, and she's blessed. You know.
Yes, she is. She really is. Yes. I'm just, you know, I want to go and see her soon. If not this week, maybe, you know, after the new year.
Oh, that would be nice. That would
I went to see her before, but it's just that when that at that time, you know, my daughter with all of her problems and stuff, so I couldn't get to go back to see her.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, but, you know, ain't nothing wrong with the telly.
I know that's right, but I was so glad because I hadn't talked with her, you know. I saw her on Christmas, but I was in the kitchen, and by the time I got out, it was like, okay, I didn't make the phone calls to certain ones that I hadn't texted. So I had to,
yes.
Today I got to her, that's all. But I'm glad I got to see her, and she sounds good. She sounds happy. You know,
oh, yes.
She sounds happy. Mm-hmm. I asked about that sunlight. She said,
yeah.
I got four windows. I'm like,
oh, she so do. I mean, like her when she looks out the window, she could see everything out there, the trees and people walking. I was like, look at you. You are so blessed.
Yeah.
And she was saying that during the spring and summertime, when I come over, we could sit out on the terrace and
right.
talk. And, you know,
right.
she's just so happy.
Mm-hmm. And she said they have a little place outside with trees and stuff.
Yes.
You can sit outside, too. So that's
yep.
a different from Brooklyn. That's for real, you know?
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
You know,
God is awesome.
He sure is.
She's doing
yes,
great things.
Yes,
yes,
yes. And she got a birthday coming up next month, too.
Oh, what day is it? The 7th?
I think it's the 11th.
The 11th? Okay.
It's either the 10th or, no, they always celebrated it. Her sister always celebrated on the 11th. But it may be before the 11th, I think.
I thought it was the 7th. But anyway, thank you for the reminder.
Yeah.
And if you can, remind me again, but I would like to send her a card or something.
Oh, that would be nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be nice. I don't have an address, so I would have to get that. But remind me, please, so I can send it even early, you know?
Yes.
Which is right here, because this Saturday is the 1st, so.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I have to get, you would have to get it from Nadine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, from
yeah,
her.
She, huh?
Or for mother.
Yeah, well, I don't know if mother knows the address yet.
She should know it.
She should, maybe.
Right.
I don't know.
Come on, not saying that she does, but she ought to know her new address.
Mm-hmm. I got a beautiful calendar from Deacon Clyde.
Okay.
Yeah, it's you know, he always get these black calendars of different you know, famous black people doing back in the day, cuz you know he old school.
Mhm.
And it's just, I love reading about the history, you know?
Okay.
Oh,
good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad because that's the only calendar I have for the new year. You know, everyone, nowhere have calendars.
Really? I saw one, I think it was yesterday in the supermarket. I didn't want it. I think it had animals on it or something. I have one, and I think we got another from Daily Bread. I think
the Daily Bread, they always send. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love their calendars. But somebody gave me one at Wednesday Sing.
Uh-huh.
And it's by one of the black artists in Harlem. And I'm very, you know, happy about that. So it's a little different, but it's really nice. I plan to put that up too, darling.
Yeah, but
so.
I love the one that he sent me. It's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
All the famous people.
Did he bring it?
No, he mailed it because he forgot to bring it.
Oh, okay, because I know I heard he came.
Yeah, he came. He came and brought me the Christmas gifts.
Okay.
Did you get yours?
No, ma'am.
Oh,
she said she was mailing it yesterday.
Okay.
So
she
I
probably
guess by
did.
The,
I think you should get it by Friday, Saturday. No, Friday.
My check and my gift. That's what I'm looking for.
Yes. Okay, then.
And you know, I'm too proud to beg clothes down for good.
Yes.
Play. And too proud to beg about the temptation.
Exactly. All of them now closed down.
Huh?
They're all closed. Another two closed.
No, they're not all closed. Some of them closed just because of people getting, not just because, but because some people contracted COVID. But,
right.
Ain't you proud? The beg says they're not going to come back.
Oh. That's not right.
Did you see it?
No.
Oh, I didn't see it either. And I had an opportunity to go. In fact, I bought a raffle ticket for it, but I didn't win. But anyway.
Yeah, I never win raffles anyway. I buy them from the people, you know, to support them. But I never win those things.
Oh, goodness. Mm-hmm. Well, your day's coming.
Oh, yes. 2022 is going to be an awesome year.
Oh, yes. Thank God. Yes. God willing. But anyway, listen, love you. Thank you for being my student tonight. And
welcome.
I guess tomorrow night, unless Lady Nadine says something other than no, we'll be on.
Yes. We will.
Okay.
Okay. We'll be closed on Friday and Saturday, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
Okay. I got And I tuned in on Saturday, and I heard that music. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
No problem.
No problem.
To be expected. Come on, Christmas?
Of course.
But anyway.
Exactly. Well, I knew Mother wasn't going to preach anyway, so I just say, okay, well, we'll be closed.
Yeah, Mother said she might be being led in a different direction. So I don't know if she's going to even come back.
No, I don't know. I doubt it. But
I doubt it, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is what it is. And I told her I miss her because I do. But,
me too.
We'll see.
I'd be looking forward to her, you know, coming on and preaching.
Same here. Same here.
But
we'll see what the Lord says, because even though she says she thinks she's being led in a different direction, it doesn't mean that the door's closed.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
love you.
She
said she
have a blessed night.
You too. I'll see you tomorrow, God's willing.
God willing, yes. See you tomorrow.
Okay.
Have a blessed night.
You too. Love you.
Thank you.
Love you. I'm just closing out. No music.
No problem.
Bye. Right. Okay. Shalom.
Shalom.
Mm-hmm.